The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And this is the Bill Myers Show.
What is on your mind for Conspiracy Theory Thursday? It's quarter after 7, and you can join 770-5633. Call in. Like I said, have a good point. Interesting talk there with Paul Theis, like I mentioned. I knew he was going to be a good talk. As I'm reading his book, I'm thinking, this guy knows what the heck he's talking about the ESG investing. In other words, fascism / communism / collectivism replacing capitalism, as it were, and how it's designed to starve companies that are politically unpopular, just politically unpopular to the left, right? Boy, what an amazing revolution. They've been incredibly effective at hiding this so far. And you think about how that ended up, coming into a time in which the Republicans, what I would call either not the country club Republicans, maybe the Chamber of Commerce type Republicans in Washington, D.C., that's all right. Oh, we don't need to worry about culture and ESG and all these other things. All we have to do is get the proper tax cut in and the proper regulatory environment, and everything's going to be okay. Yeah, Republicans have to stop playing like the Washington Generals. Remember the Washington Generals for the, Harlem Globetrotters would play a game, right? And Harlem Globetrotters would play, and they're always playing against the Washington Generals that are there. They're just happy to be there to lose gracefully. Yeah. Now, this is your country at stake right now. Anyway, you can join in, 770-563. Tell me what's on your mind. Doesn't have to be about ESG, but we talked a lot about that last hour. I was going to be talking with the head of the Hospital Association of Oregon, but she ended up bombing out at the last minute last night and said, well, she's not going to be able to come on. And I'm kind of curious as to why they chose not to come on, because they popped out a release here yesterday, and it's another important story. The Oregon Hospital Association, or Hospital Association of Oregon, put out an alert from the state. Reeling from a second year of losses, hospitals stress need for policy changes. A combination of factors, including high inflation, workforce shortages, and escalating expenses, continue to squeeze the operating ability and margins of Oregon hospitals, underscoring the urgency of implementing policy solutions to ensure they can continue to support their communities. In other words, the Hospital Association is sending up a flare saying, hey, we're looking at hospitals likely having to close, given the way things have been. New data released this week, and I'll get to the phones here in just a minute, but I wanted you to hear this story. New data released this week by Apprise Health Insights shows that the state's hospitals posted a 1.3% median operating margin in 2023. In other words, a 1%, just a little over 1% profit margin. The second consecutive year that hospitals as a group lost money. Oh, I'm sorry, they lost money. They lost 1.3%. Second year in a row. They also say without federal CARES Act funds propping up hospitals in 2020 and 2021, last year would have marked the fourth straight year hospitals experienced significant financial losses. Becky Holtberg, the Hospital Association of Oregon president and CEO, says Oregonians depend on their hospitals to be there when they need them most, but year after year of tough financial conditions have made it increasingly difficult for hospitals to maintain all the services they provide for their communities. In 2023, more than half of Oregon hospitals say they were unable to cover the cost of providing care with the actual revenue coming in from taking care of patients. The state's largest urban hospitals had a median operating margin of less than 0.3%. Rural hospitals fared even worse, with a median operating margin of negative 1.8%. So hospitals in our kind of an area are in big trouble. Big urban areas, they're in trouble too, a little less so. And I was going to be talking. I was going to talk with the CEO, and then they decided to say no. I don't know why. They didn't explain why. Change of plan. You said not going to talk. And I was really looking for, I thought this was an important story and worthy of conversation. maybe it's one of those things where there's still too much politics involved in this, and maybe you could say, all right, well, you can't find anybody to work. It wouldn't have anything to do with the hospitals being a laydown for the governor and requiring the jab and all the other things and pushing the COVID vaccines exclusively and destroying any possibility of getting any alternative treatments. It couldn't have anything to do with that. Could it have anything to do with Oregon being a sanctuary state and that you have a bunch of illegal aliens coming here and flooding the hospital system and they don't pay? Maybe they don't want to have to answer those things. They're just looking for more money from the feds. I don't know. But I'm hoping that Becky will come back on at some point because I thought it was an important story. I'm surprised that she didn't want to talk about it this morning. Now, maybe there was something else that came up, but it was all booked in solid. Everybody was happy. And then, boom, gone. 21 minutes after 7, it's open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Let me go to line one. Live without a net. Hi, who's this?
Well, it's your favorite pest. It's Michael Shaw. Good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Michael Shaw. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I have 2 points under one major heading of government overreach.
Okay.
One is Canada is looking to pass a new law that could give you up to life in prison for online speech that they don't like.
That's right. This was a law proposed by Justin Trudeau, Little Fidel's government, for life.
Right.
Yeah, speech crimes. Speech crimes.
Speech crimes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the second point is down to California, where California wants to charge you more for your electricity dependent upon your income. So could you imagine going into a grocery store and you see a nice ribeye steak there and having to fill out a form and verification of some way that your steak is going to cost you $10 a pound if you're in this income bracket, but it's going to cost you $20 a pound if you're in another income bracket?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that diversity or is that equity or is that inclusivity? I don't know what it is.
it's absolutely crazy insane that we have now reached this point that they publicly, i.e. Canada, say, you can't say this, you can't say that, and I realize that they don't have a freedom of speech constitution like we do, but...
And they've also disarmed their people, but, you know, you can still buy ropes. Just wanted to just remind, you know, people in Canada about that. You can still buy ropes. Ropes work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ropes work, and so do knives and sticks and baseball bats and whatever else, but it is so blatant on how far left the left wants to go. That it's just insane.
And this is why Republicans can't be negotiating this, Michael. I was talking with Court Boyce about this the other day, and I've talked with other Republicans about this too. This idea that Democrats get political cover from Oregon in the state legislature or California or anything else because enough Republicans vote for something with them, giving them political cover. Well, and then they'll usually always say, well, there are some good things in the bill, but it's overwhelmingly a bad bill. And if it's not a Republican bill, why are you giving them any help? And this idea that you can just sort of negotiate with people who want you dead in many cases and disenfranchised and out of the area, you know, quit acting as if you could just negotiate this stuff. You just can't.
No,
the answer is no.
That goes right back to a point I've been hammering year in, year out. We talked about it the other day is one bill, one topic has to be put into place. You can't. There's no negotiating a single topic bill. You like it or you don't.
That would be interesting to have something like that because that's the rule for citizen initiatives or ballot measures. You can only address one topic at a time, right?
So what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I would agree with that. Appreciate the call as always. What was the other one you wanted to make there? I heard there was another point. Go ahead.
There was the 2 points under government overreach, Canada and California.
Got it. All right. Well done. Thank you. 724 KMED KCMD. We'll go to line two. Open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Live without a net. I don't know if we have someone who's. Who is this, by the way? Who is this? Good morning.
It's David.
David, raving lunatic. Great. Welcome. What's going on?
Raving lunatic. Yeah. Bill, this is only for your show, and this is only because it's you, and you have such an amazing show with such an amazing audience. I'm going to tell you, Bill, I think I stumbled over the greatest conspiracy theory of all time.
Okay, what's that?
What if people don't know that they can forgive themselves?
Hmm. What if people don't know that they can forgive themselves? Are you speaking about in a religious point of view or something else? Please explain.
Well, it's great you brought that up because, I mean, Jesus says if you're religious like Christian, then Jesus says you're forgiven, right? I mean, forgive yourself for anything you've ever been tricked into doing by, you know, either from childhood trauma or the manifestations of it through your life or other influences. Because, you know, the Bible says we are made in the Creator's image and sin enters the world from an external source. Then it should be very easy to forgive oneself for the mistakes we've made.
Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at that. All right. Okay.
What if when you forgive yourself, you achieve the ability to forgive others and you gain conscious control over yourself and you stop sinning or making mistakes in life?
Hmm. Well, does the act of forgiving oneself and forgiving others all of a sudden mean that the other person is not going to continue to sin and or attack you and sin against you? Because a lot of what we're battling right now are people sinning against us.
Well, yes. Well, here's the thing about forgiveness. It has nothing to do with anyone else, and here's how you know that.
All right.
If you're mad at someone and he wrongs you and he moves away or he dies and he can't ever apologize, are you supposed to carry the weight inside of you forever? Clearly not. So you know right there, instantly, forgiveness is only in yourself. That has nothing to do with anyone else.
Okay, forgive. All right. Okay. All right. And how do
that
you...
That would be a big...
Now, where's the conspiracy, though, in this?
Because when you can't forgive yourself, you perpetuate more and more of the mistakes that perpetuate generational curses and all these societal ills we have. If you went down to the sidewalk here on the Greenway, right, and you got all these guys on these bags, and you said, hey, what exactly do you feel so guilty about, right? And ask them, and they say, well, I guess I had a really bad childhood, and then I became an addict. And it's like, well, did you choose to have a bad childhood and be traumatized? And they'd say, well, no. And say, okay, well, maybe forgive yourself and see if you're still trying to escape your sadness with drugs, you know? I mean, I'm tempted to do a tour down the Greenway and see how powerful this would be for people because I think, Bill, and I'm not exaggerating, I think this is the greatest conspiracy of all time because I've never heard about it.
All right.
I'm 34 years old and have been to all kinds of churches.
So forgive yourself. You're down on the Greenway and you're trying to medicate your guilt away, so to speak, right?
Well, what do you have guilt about? What have you done that you have guilt? What has the person on the Greenway done that they have guilt about? What would he do? What has he done?
Well, some may be guilty about a trauma or maybe something that they've done. Sin that they have committed, bad things they've done to other people, and other times they may be reacting to pain of aggression and sin done to them, you know,
right.
Not of their own choice.
Right.
One way or the other, there's still a wound that needs to be healed in one way or the other. Now, it's okay to forgive yourself, but that does not mean that there cannot be accountability. I think maybe that's the difference.
And that's interesting how it interfaces with society. But if you have a bunch of emotionally healed people, I mean, you can't do anything but go up. I mean, our system is very decrepit. And the thing is, you know, we imagine wanton people, reckless people, but people don't start out wanton or reckless. I mean, we all start out wanting good things in life, you know. And these forces, anger, sadness, shame, trauma, you know, all these forces start acting upon people to make them how they are. And I think forgiveness is the way to end the cycle because otherwise, you know, what would you say? We have to have willpower. Willpower is okay if you have it, but with forgiveness, all the weight and pressure comes off of a being, and they're able to interact with all these things. The thing the show is mostly about is the economy and the government. Well, those things function a lot better when people aren't all angry and these pressure cookers ready to go off at each other or at their families.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's toss that out to the Southern Oregon jury, see what they think about it. It's thought-provoking, okay? Is forgiveness the key, like David says? We can talk about that and more. 729 at KMED KCMD. And if you're on hold, I will get to your call. Give me a minute, okay? Good stuff.
Hi, this is Kevin with Clouser Drilling. Early this year, Clouser Drilling reached a milestone, drilling past 1 million feet. That's the distance between Crater Lake and Redwood National Park. And on this beautiful drive, you would pass countless wells drilled by Clouser, including our very first well in Cave Junction, drilled in 1971. Thank you, Southern Oregon, for trusting Clouser to drill nearly 5,000 wells and counting. We're looking forward to the next million feet. Visit us at clouserdrilling.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Lydex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure.
One of each Forte VIN 731586 MSRP 21710 3500 due Sportage VIN 185367 MSRP 3590 4499 due 10K miles per year zero security deposit all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax title license 150 registration processing fee trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/24
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's payment wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS Automatic. Just $149 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Sportage LX. Only $199 a month lease. Both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia like Forte's. $149 a month. Sportage's $199 a month. During the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Home and business owners prefer to work with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Free estimates, affordable, efficient, friendly, fast arrive on time, finish on time. You can count on us for quality roofing. Call us today. Get your estimate tomorrow. 601-9108, CCB number 230-804.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
Let me go back to the phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. After news, we're going to talk with Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts. Big news about the Jackson County for All Democrats deal. Yeah, the complaint that came back from the state. We'll tell you more about that. You remember the accusations of Hinky that Denise Krause ended up leveling? Didn't happen. Let's go with Terry. Hey, Terry, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Bill, I just want to talk about that article you're talking about, the hospitals, you know, losing money and stuff like that. That's just a scare tactic. Once again, a setup to, you know, worry us thinking, oh, a hospital's going to shut down. Geez, what are we going to do? It's hard enough to get into a hospital as it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a setup to ask for more money, sort of like how the counties do it, where they can't take any wage cuts whatsoever. It's always, oh, we're going to have to lay people off. Or, you know, they can never do a wage cut. Why is that?
Because of inflation, no one can do it. You know that. Would you take Would you take a wage cut right now? If someone said, "Hey, we're going to cut your wages 20%." What would you say?
Well, you can cut them some then, but if it's rather than getting laid off, you know, I imagine half would probably take a wage cut rather than getting laid off.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe you're right, but in a time in which most people are having trouble staffing their business, that might be a tough sell. Just saying.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Yeah, no, but the hospital thing, what I wanted to add to you, what they're talking about is operating margins. And what they're really saying, they're saying the quiet part out loud here, Terry, is that what kept hospitals going through the pandemic and beyond was all that slosh of federal money coming through, and now it's gone. It's gone. And they're dying on the vine. At the same time that we're being told that... I guess you get more people on public health care on Oregon Health Plan, and everything's going to be okay. That's the unsaid part about this, and it's a real problem. I think it really is a problem. We've seen some hospitals in rural areas closing. Does that mean I want to bail them out? No. At the same point, did Asante bring on some of its problems here over the last few years with firing all the best people? Possibly. Let me go to Mark. Hello, Mark. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Yes. Read a book called 5,000 Year Leap. And in a nutshell, what the book is about is that up until the advent of the United States of America, basically they were still operating in sailing ships. The firearms were single shot. Once you took a shot, now you're fighting with knives and swords.
Right.
And nothing had gone very far advanced. Now, the advent of freedom in this country went around the world. Look at what's happened in the last 300 years with technology. Because people were free to develop their thoughts and their ideas. And people die to come to this country for that freedom and that ability to invent and do things and actually be free and creative.
What happens if that, I mean, and here it is, it's arguably been under attack here for quite some time, Mark. What happens if we're, if we go down? What happens if we go down?
That's my point. We go down and that world government thing that's happening, there's things happening at levels that is worldwide, it's organized, and it's all about control, and it's about their power and strength. You get rid of the United States, and that's all gone.
Point well taken. Thanks for making it. Let me go to Bob. Bob, you want to get my hackles up? Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. As you know, I'll get your hackles up here for a bit, but hopefully we can kind of get through some of the details.
Okay.
And every time the city of Medford puts out any information that follows their agenda but does not reflect the will or desire of the citizens, I got to do my best to counter it. So here we go. Medford Parks and Recs is asking for over $200,000 in grants to tear out the Jackson Pool. Okay.
Right.
That's been going on for a while. They want to improve Jackson Park, which has been left to rack and ruin for a while. They have done some improvements thus far. The city, Rich Rosenthal, who is the spokesperson for, you know, Showtune and the city council, says...
Now Brian's gone, though, isn't he? Didn't he retire?
Not yet.
Okay.
Almost.
All right.
I mean, they're working on it. You know, they're paying money to do some headhunting. So anybody who wants to be Medford City Administrator, you better like sports as your priority, and then
I've noticed that it's been a really fascinating approach that everyone's going to get rich by stupid money, by stupid discretionary spending. But that's just me, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the issue is, going back briefly, you know, when they wanted to build the $74.8 million pool, you know, they said we're going to replace this, and it's going to be the pool for everybody, and especially the folks over in West Medford. And we're going to knock out the Jackson Pool. They've already knocked out Hawthorne Pool downtown. They never, in any of their surveys, said, do you want to keep and restore Jackson Pool, yes or no? There was never in any surveys. It was
Because it was never part of the plan. The whole plan was to get rid of Jackson Pool. They want the one box in the northwest corner of town so that if you are a swimmer and even just want to go to a neighborhood pool in southeast Medford, you're going to have to drive all the way across the city to get there. At the same time, we're told that we're supposed to be so sustainable. Wouldn't it have been more sustainable to have neighborhood pools? Silly me. I know. I'm just going to raise the uncomfortable question that people don't want to go into, I guess.
Well, by comparison, the folks in North Bend, Oregon on the coast, not the bend over in eastern Oregon, their city leadership wanted to knock down their pool that had been built back in the 50s. Enclosed by the high school and build some, you know, steel warehouse type thing as well. And the citizens said no. And they got together and said no loudly. Mm-hmm. And a couple of different people, one guy I think owns a print shop over there. So, you know, he kind of was the spear, point of the spear on it. And, you know, city leadership in North Bend said, okay, we hear you. We will respond to you. And they rebuilt that pool over there.
But remember, what they did in Medford was that the whole idea was to pass this one particular tax, and this will help the tourism industry pay for it, right? And that was not an actual vote on whether they wanted to do the aquatic warehouse. It was just a vote on whether you wanted to do a tax, and then that was then conflated as to, well, everybody wants the aquatic warehouse.
Okay.
There we go. All right. Thank you for the call. My hackles are up as always. Thank you. And Brad. Hello, Brad. Go ahead.
Bill, good morning to you. Boy, what a great discussion you had with your guest on ESG and how the progressive left is. They just keep getting better and better at destroying economic things that have served all of us so well. So you can't find a better example than the state of Oregon. And in the state of Oregon, you can't find a better example than Modoc Lumber of this type of assault that the progressive left has learned to do so well. Here's what we know. Economic vitality is the enemy of progressive leftism, because the more money you have, the less you need government. The more money you have, the more you can resist government.
Exactly. In other words, they want people poor. They obviously want people poor, but they want to be doing okay in order to rule it over. All right?
And you concentrate whatever economic vigor you have, you want it concentrated in those people that have been through the education industry, so that they think the way that you do. So who is Modoc Lumber? Modoc Lumber, back in the day, was the fourth largest employer in Klamath County. They had a capacity, huge capacity, lots of employers. But what happened between 1980 and 1990 in the state of Oregon, Andy Kerr, Oregon Natural Resources Council, endless lawsuits against various timber companies, denying them access to what? Denying them access to the lumber that they needed to keep the mills open. So here was the fourth largest employer in Klamath County, which was back in the day, Klamath Falls was actually bigger than Medford. Did you know that?
No, true. I did not know that.
Yeah, back in the day. So here is this extremely successful, vigorous company, Modoc Lumber, owned and operated by the Shaw family. But what happens is lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit sequentially denies them access to the timber that they need to keep the mill open and keep those jobs going. Eventually, they were successful in essentially starving the mill to death.
Okay. Now, you're absolutely right about describing what happened. Okay. I'm going to a situation there. There is no political support, though, for getting back in the woods. Would you agree with me on that?
Right. So what we're not talking about, or what we're talking about here, is we're talking about the application of the same principle with this ESG. The principle of ESG is that you redirect financial resources away from companies and ideology that the progressive left doesn't want to support. So just the way that they put Modoc Lumber out of business by denying them access to lumber, now they want to put all these other companies out of business by denying them access to capital. It's the same exact principle exercised at a different level in a different way. And your guest is right. If we don't find a way to interrupt this redirection of capital to these other businesses, we're going to have the same result, but it's going to be on a much larger and a much more destructive scale.
It will be on a mass starvation scale if they were to ultimately get their way. Now, they don't look at it this way. They really don't look at it this way. They really do tend to look at the world. Many of the true believers, I would dare say useful idiots would be a better term for them, think that there is a way to be completely sustainable, run the world on solar cells and windmills, and not use any fertilizer and not use any fossil fuels whatsoever, et cetera, et cetera. And that there is just a source of unicorn fart energy that is continual and will keep us all alive and healthy. It's not true. Never has been true.
And not just on the practical side, but on the policy side. You know, how many more years is it going to be before the owners of KMED get a certified letter from the Oregon State ESG Authority saying, a careful listening to the Bill Meyer Show indicates to us that we can no longer allow capital to be used by your company until you remove certain statements of ideology from your radio operations.
That's a very interesting point. Fortunately, we are not a publicly traded company. Okay, that might be the only saving grace.
Don't have to be publicly traded. Look at all these other companies that they're going after, Bill. All they have to do is get the financial institutions to buy into this ESG far enough that they're not willing to direct their capital toward these other outfits, and all of a sudden these outfits don't have access to capital and they're out of business.
All right. Thanks for the warning, okay? 744, KMED, KCMD, and hopefully I will not be dragged out by the ESG police anytime soon. Brings up a good point. I hadn't considered that. Even though we're privately, it's a private company, and it's not out there on the capital markets, you hear about Clear Channel, iHeart, that sort of thing. We're not, one of those kind of companies. We're locally owned, regionally owned here by Coastal Media. Interesting. Brad, thank you for the thought-provokingness, okay?
Well, you know, a door list, Tobin's Foz, we both recommend. Levon here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills? Just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orly's has everything you need. We are fully stocked on Splash Around above ground pools and accessories. Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orly's Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Villa with your MC5 Morning News Update. Medford School District is hosting an event tonight for families wanting to teach their children how to be bilingual. The two-way immersion program is designed to make children fluent in both English and Spanish by the time they reach middle school. It's offered to any student in the Medford School District, though priority is given to Jackson Elementary families. Tonight, students and teachers in the program will share performances, poems, and projects to current and prospective families of the program. The event is happening at the Jackson Elementary Gym from 7 to 9 p.m. Children must start the program in either kindergarten or first grade. Applications for next year's programs open April 1st. Kindergarten immersion teacher Yasmin Bennett says both native Spanish and native English speakers are encouraged to apply. The Women's Crisis Support Team will be holding a spring clothing fair so you can refresh your wardrobe for a great deal. That event is on April 13th, which means right now the team is taking donations of gently used clothing and accessories. You can drop off clothing items at the Evergreen Bear Hotel in Grants Pass. The clothing fair benefits the team, which seeks to end domestic violence and sexual assault in our area. At the sale next month, each item is only $2, and all proceeds will be donated to support the team's efforts. That's a look at your morning headline. For NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Thursday and happy Pi Day.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on General tires for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free consultation.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
748. We'll get to your calls here in just a minute. Everyone's on hold. I will get to you. Promise. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I'm not crossing my fingers or doing anything like that. Now, of course, I suppose if I was a group, mostly from the left, that was going out there trying to change the charters, Jackson County, of course, has three of these, Josephine County, 17-116. You got to throw a lot of dust in the air, a lot of dirt in the air to try to get people to pay attention to the intrusion or to not pay attention to the intrusion. And I wanted to bring on Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts. Colleen, welcome back. And interesting development with these complaints that Denise Krause and the Jackson County for All scheme, in my opinion, were throwing at the county. And there was some news that got leaked from the Secretary of State's office. I was wondering if you could let us kind of know the latest on that, please.
Yes, thanks, Bill, for having bringing this forward and having me on today. It's kind of been one thing after another with this group, and Denise Krause particularly, I guess. She's filed one charge after another at at me, at our Board of Commissioners, and most recently even at our at the staff, filing claims of that we've broken the law.
Yeah, violating open meetings laws, violating election laws. I mean, it was just all sorts of stuff that was brought up, right?
Yeah, one attack after another, and we've addressed each one as they've been filed. The recent claim that we, and I believe Dee Krause was on the news, and her statement was it was a clear violation of our election laws, and she knows the law and apparently and studied them, and you know I don't know who's coaching them, but she filed the a claim with Secretary of State's mm-hmm. office, and it came back from the Secretary of State that they were not going to open an investigation. There was nothing they sought that rose to that.
There were no violations. They couldn't find a violation, Colleen, right? I mean, there are no violations, right? But yet, what I find fascinating is that the local media, the papers and TV, everybody else getting into it, story after story after story about the claims of Dee Krause about these, these violations and all these claims. Now, my question, though, is that are we seeing all of these same media outlets that are willing to give Dee Krause a big horn blowing, about everything that's wrong with the county? Are they now reporting that there is nothing to it? Do you know?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, they have the media almost every night playing something about how the measures and the violations and they want an interview every night, and I'm going, what do we say? You know, they're under investigation. There's nothing we can say. The investigation has to play out.
Now you can say something because there was nothing to it. In other words, Dee Krause filed false charges.
False charges.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's one, as soon as the first one came out, they were addressed. Nothing came out. Then there was another one, and I go, "What? So what's next, Denise?" it's just kind of, and it's sad. I guess as a commissioner or elected official, I don't know that I expect it, but I assume that can happen. But to our staff, it is not deserved. They are professionals. They know the laws. They follow. They make sure things are followed by procedure, and they make sure we follow them as well. And it is very disappointing. This is the avenue they've chosen. I mean, to what end? So they can get an office?
Yeah, well, to me,
want to see an office?
Well, you know what bothers me and what should irritate people even more, and I don't know if this will get reported, but this, she's running for Jackson County Commission too, this one. And she's making these claims, claiming to know the law. She doesn't seem to know how the county works or how a county works. Now, I know that, we can all make mistakes there, but they seem to be doing a lot of mistakes lately. Just saying.
Yeah, and it's one thing to make a mistake. Well, admit a mistake. And, it does show, does it display a level of wisdom or integrity or leadership? I would ask, I guess, your listeners, do you trust someone like that to get elected? Do you trust someone like that to present measures that you can depend on or trust what's behind those measures? And and what do you get if you vote for those? Or what do you get if you get someone like that in office? And I guess that's what I would leave to your listeners.
Yeah. And this whole idea that the board is not, they were trying to make the case, I recall, that the Board of Commissioners shouldn't be able to have any opinion about what to do with the Board of Commissioners, as if somehow First Amendment rights disappear. Shut up. Shut up, you elected officials here. But anyway.
Well, and the fact when we had our work session and our administrator presented, as he does, he plans our budget, he plans for the future, and he knows budgets. And their response was, because their measures were all planned, that you were going to get five commissioners for the price of three, and that there would be no extra cost to the expense to the taxpayer, none. And so that was proven false. And their response was, well, that was inflated. That was just overhyped, you know, budget number.
Yeah, I know, because Jackson County for All has so, well, Jackson County for All has so much more budgeting expertise than Danny Jordan, for crying out loud. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If anybody knows budgets, it is our administrator. And it wasn't like the fact that they went back to their original premise. No, we said there was no other extra cost. No, it was like, no, it won't be that much.
Uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't, you know, it was just lies upon lies, and it just leads to integrity. And you know what? Integrity leads to trust. And I believe that's whether it's to how you do your business or how transparency, like you talked about earlier in the show, to addresses, whatever, follow what you see and trust what is being presented. And when it's claims against, you know, that are shown to be false claims of, you know, false accusations of following the law, I can't kind of take that personally. I've never been kind of a claim that I violated a law, and I kind of take that personally.
Oh yeah, I can understand that.
Twice.
You know, something
twice
else
in a month.
So, needless to say, gross. Jackson County for All didn't know what they were talking about, or intentionally is just trying to smear the situation because they want power. They want power. They want their individuals running. They want power. And I know I'm a partisan. You're a partisan, too. We get that. We're at least honest and open about it. They're partisan, but try to hide it. You know, they're trying to hide their partisanship under nonpartisan, calling it all that. So, Commissioner, I appreciate the take. I'm glad that there was nothing to this. I knew there was nothing to this inherently or in instinctively. I knew there was nothing to this. But I think we need to start considering the source when it's coming from Jackson County for All. Okay, that's all I'm going to leave it at, all right? Appreciate
Well, they're sure throwing everything at it, and we'll see what happens next, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. 756 and change, KMED, KCMD. Let me grab some more calls here. Let me pull my notes up. John's in Medford. Hello, John. How you doing? Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill. So I'm responding to prior caller David, who talked about forgiveness as it relates to the homeless, and I want to tie it into the homeless issue in Grants Pass that's going before the Supreme Court.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, Jesus says, forgive them for they know not what they do. That's a given. And there's a lot of power in that forgiveness. And what David kind of was relaying is we have a hard time forgiving ourselves for our own ignorance.
And I think he's right about that. That's probably a true statement. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, because if we can't come to the truth of our own mistakes, you know, there's often ego and pride involved, then what we tend to do is continue in this downward spiral to cover up the first mistake, and then we make the second and third.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you fall through the ice, and you're kind of living by the river on the greenway.
How would you then modify public policy, if at all?
Well, this is a tough one, and I saw a great video that Pastor Brian at the Gospel Rescue Mission put out. I saw it this morning, and he has three cups, and he's kind of breaking it down, how it plays out. And in the third cup, it had a bunch of things, including poor choices that people make. Well, I think the poor choice should be a fourth cup, and we should spend more time on that. You know, back decades ago, people were shamed for the behavior, and now that we're celebrating and supporting. And so, you know, you have a problem where you don't realize it. No, there's a lot of – I listen to ads even on the radio that talk about children that are not being fed. Well, they're children that, you know, go to school. They have parents. So we never talk about the parents making poor choices or starting a family in ignorance before they can afford one.
And all we do then is fix the symptom or try to fix the symptom rather than – you know, why would you be sending your kid to school without food, right?
Well, they know the school system's going to support it.
Right.
But it doesn't get to the, you know, the choices that parent might make to waste money at the expense of their children. And see, this is what we don't want to face, the truth about these poor choices.
Because that means that there could be blame.
Well, yeah, and no one wants that. No one wants to assume responsibility, and we think that just throwing taxpayer money against a problem that has deeper reasons, like, you know, I'd be willing to go out to the Greenway with David every time I encounter homeless and even invite them into my home and sit with them and talk with them. I start to drill down into, okay, where was the point of departure where things went wrong for you? What was it? Did you doubt yourself?
Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever asked them? Just curious.
Yes, Bill. And I'm convinced if you take a person that's kind of had a hard way, you can trace it back to an often bad decision based on thoughts in the mind or an ego or some pride that they couldn't admit. Mm. And then they couldn't really recover because they weren't able to forgive themselves for that first mistake.
All right. Very good. John, appreciate the call. Let me go to Dave. Dave, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah. I wanted to say is the Lord's Prayer. You're supposed to ask forgiveness for yourself and then forgive others for their trespass. And this is an important thing, because when you ask God forgiveness, you're asking yourself.
Yeah. Does that mean, though, that you should allow the trespass and intrusions to continue, though?
No.
Good. All right. That's kind of what I wanted to get at, which we don't want to be totally passive on such things. Selma, Dave, aviation. Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Bill, I wanted to talk a little bit about these disastrous problems we're having in our aviation industry.
Little minor details like bolts not getting put on doors, stuff like that, right?
And all that. So my qualifications are: I hold a federal airframe and power plant license, which gives me the ability to work on aircraft. I have an FCC license, which allows me to work on avionics and radars on aircraft. I have an inspection authorization from the FAA, which allows me to oversee other mechanics' work and return things to service. And I've worked on several crash investigations when I worked for Rolls-Royce Aircraft Engine Services in Oakland, California. I worked on they'd bring in the engine that was in a crash, and I'd take it apart and show them the parts and to help them determine what the problem was.
Okay, so break it down. So break it down for us, though. You've got cred, in other words. Okay, you've established that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the thing of it is this DEI policies, I think, are behind a lot of this stuff, because four bolts being left off that that door plug, that should never happen. You've got people. They're trying to get people of color into the cockpit, and there was an African gentleman that they needed to get in the cockpit, and they put him in the left seat.
And that's the captain's seat, right?
Yeah, captain's seat. Long story long, he ended up going into a smoking hole in the ground, and then after, all the people that had worked with him said that they noticed him whenever there would be some cockpit problem. He'd start randomly flipping switches and turning knobs to make it look like he was doing something.
And by the way, that's not because he was an African American. It wasn't that at all. It's just that there are people who are qualified to be pilots, and there are people who are not. That's just it.
Yeah.
It is a task operated thing. There has to be a certain mindset. There has to be a certain mindset to be an air traffic controller, too. You know, almost the ability to pay to play 4D chess, you know, as an example. But I want to give you an example, though. This DEI thing, even though we're talking about it now, it's been going on a long time. I was talking with Dave, a colleague of mine, who is a tower climber now. And he was very smart, still is very smart, rather, and was trained and went through school to become an air traffic controller. And he did great and was going to be hired, and it was going out trying to get hired. And you know what happened? This is in the early 1970s. And they said, "Well, what color are you?" He was actually asked what color. He says, well, I'm a white male. And he says, we can't hire you. It was starting. Yeah. It was starting then. And we're thinking that this is something which is only of recent. And he said, I did not want to go into an industry that was already, you know, going down that. And he went off and did a different thing, you know, after that thing, even though he was, you know, great mind and would have been a great air traffic controller. But he was not hired because of his color. And that is just as bad as hiring someone only because of their color or ethnicity.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And did you see Boeing? They had a whistleblower and he went in for testimony. And before he got in for the second day of his testimony, Oh, he ended up with a bullet through his head in his car, and they called it a suicide.
It's just a coincidence. Even though it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, he died of a coincidence, Selma Dave. Thank you for the call, okay? Yikes.